What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, the NBA playoffs have begun, and every game one is in the books. On Saturday and Sunday, we had us a whole mess of basketballs from start to finish to begin the day. And now throughout the rest of the week, we are going to have game twos and threes all the way leading up to the weekend. But let's go ahead and talk about what happened in each and every game one over the weekend, beginning with the Saturday games, which started with the Indiana Pacers versus the Milwaukee Bucks. And the Indiana Pacers pretty much just dominated this game for the majority of the game. It wasn't really that close at all. It kind of seemed like Milwaukee really had no idea what was going on there, besides for Giannis. You know, Giannis did what Giannis do, and that is 36 points and 12 rebounds. So he obviously showed up. It was just the rest of the team around him pretty much faded away. But on the opposite side of the court here, Pascal Siakam for the Indiana Pacers, he had a phenomenal game with 25 points and 7 rebounds. It was actually a very well-rounded team game from the Indiana Pacers, who came right out the gate to dominate the Milwaukee Bucks. Then the second game on Saturday we had was between the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers. This one actually ended up going into overtime. And for the most part, the Clippers actually had this game. They were pretty much leading the whole way. It looked like Denver was just playing catch up all the way up until about the fourth quarter. And then they really just started to get it going. Then they pushed it all the way into overtime. And then Denver ended up with the win 112 to 110. As a matter of fact, it was kind of crazy. The Clippers had a ton of turnovers. And I think they ended up with something like 20 turnovers total in this game. So it was just very sloppy down the stretch from the Clippers, which is what you expected, or at least that's what I expected when I was breaking down this series, is I thought Denver was just going to be able to get the better of them in the big moments, and that's exactly what happened in this one. Nikola Jokic, he had 29 points, 12 assists, and 9 rebounds, so just missed the triple-double. Aaron Gordon dropped 25 points, and Jamal Murray also added in another 21 points, so that's how Denver is going to win this series, is if Jokic plus the rest of his dudes start stepping it up and scoring the big points down the stretch. But that was a huge win for the Denver Nuggets. Then on Saturday, we had the New York Knicks versus the Detroit Pistons. And New York, for the most part, dominated this one. It kind of looked like Detroit came out in the first half and looked real strong for a minute there, but then New York just really started to put it together in the second half. They actually went on a 21-0 run at one point in this one because Detroit, they were playing really well, and then they just also started to kind of fade away here, and the Knicks ended up getting the win 123-112. As I said, the Knicks were not going to do anything without Jalen Brunson, and he dropped 34 points and 8 assists in this one. Karl Anthony Towns also had a double-double with 23 points and 11 rebounds. And Detroit, it's not like they played a bad game. It was just they started to fall away in the second half, and New York just really just put it on them and just played an excellent game. And then rounding out the Saturday games was the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Los Angeles Lakers. And this was an absolutely pathetic game for the Lakers, other than Luka Doncic. He had 37 points and 8 rebounds. But even LeBron, he was tossing up some terrible bricks. I'm like, what is this? This is not playoff LeBron. And then Austin Reeves was just chucking up threes for no reason. Rui Hachimura was just throwing up threes for no reason. And the Lakers did exactly what I've been pissed off about that they've done all season long in the games that they have struggled, and that is just toss up threes in desperation mode, and that is what they did in this one, and Minnesota just took straight up advantage of them. They went right at them and kicked their ass, 117-95. Anthony Edwards had 22 points. Naz Reid had 23 points. McDaniels had 25 points. It was just an all-around great team game from the Minnesota Timberwolves and just a Luka game for the Lakers, but nobody else showed up other than Luka. Then the Sunday games, we had Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Memphis Grizzlies, and Oklahoma City not only showed the world why they are the number one overall seed in the NBA this year, but they let everybody know that they are for real, and they actually had their biggest game one margin of victory, not only in their franchise, but also in NBA history. Yes, NBA playoff history, this has never happened. The Oklahoma City Thunder won 131-80. Yeah, the Memphis Grizzlies could only muster up 80 points in this one. And, I mean, Oklahoma City, they just talk about a team game. Everybody on this team played a role. They played great defensively. They played great offensively. They, right out the gate, they were just ready to go, and they never let Memphis catch their breath at any point in this one. And if that's how the rest of this series is going to look, Memphis better look out, because they are, that was not even a game. It was done when the fourth quarter began. That's how bad it was. I mean, SGA didn't even need to play like the second half, because it was out of reach for the majority of this game. So it was just straight up domination by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then also the Boston Celtics straight up dominated the Orlando Magic 103-86. And you would think that it would be Tatum or maybe Porzingis who had the big game. No, it was actually Derek White who dropped 30 points in this one. And this one was also just Boston suffocation the whole way through. Then another game that wasn't even really close was between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Miami Heat. The Cavaliers won 121-100, and this was an excellent game from the Cavaliers offensively and defensively. Donovan Mitchell, 30 points. Jerome, 28 points. Darius Garland, 27 points, and it was just never close at all in this one. Cleveland was also just as ready as Oklahoma City was in their matchup. Came right out the gate, took it right to the Heat. And the Heat are just, they're known to play well in the postseason, and they did not play well in this one. And then rounding out all of the game ones over the weekend on Sunday night, we had the Golden State Warriors take out the Houston Rockets 95-85. And it was kind of funny because the way this game started, everybody was all hyped up on Houston. They were acting like that Golden State was just washed up and they weren't going to bring nothing to this one. And Shane Goon had this crazy dunk on Draymond Green right in the middle. And Bleacher Report's like, oh, look at this dunk. And then all of a sudden from there on out, Golden State just never looked back and absolutely torched the Houston Rockets the rest of the way. Steph Curry do what Steph Curry do, and that is drop 31 points. Jimmy Butler was playoff Jimmy with 25 points himself. And it was just straight up domination by the Warriors for the majority of this game. It was like the first quarter, Houston looked pretty decent. And then after that, Golden State was like, nah, homies, we're a dynasty for a reason. You're going to need to bring a little bit more to the court in this one. But Golden State started out great. So those were all the game ones. We have basically two games a night until I think Friday night, and then we have some more throughout the weekend. But we have more basketball sprinkled throughout the rest of the week, and we'll see where we're at on Friday, where all the rest of the series lay. I mean, nobody should be eliminated by Friday, because I kind of feel like that's just too, that's not the way the schedule works out. They've got it all spread out, so it'll probably be the weekend when we see if anybody gets swept, which is definitely a possibility with the way some of these ass kickings were, especially during the Sunday matchups. All right, so moving on to baseball and the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week, starting to take more and more shape now that teams are starting to look more legit, less legit, have winning streaks, losing streaks, and get it going. So let's start off with number one. The same team that remains number one, shockingly still, is the San Diego Padres. Overall record of 16-6. They are 7-3 on the season. This past week, they took the series over the Chicago Cubs, lost the series to the Houston Astros, but they are just, they are right at the gate having the best season so far that the San Diego Padres have ever had in the history of their existence. Offensively, defensively, their pitching is phenomenal. They are having zero issues scoring runs. Fernando Tatis is having a fantastic year, batting a .358 with 8 home runs, 16 RBI. Then their pitcher, Nick Pivetta, he's got 3 wins on the season with the 1.57 ERA and 24 strikeouts. But there are just so many guys that are just shining through on the San Diego Padres team. You look at them and you go, is this going to last for a while? I mean, this National League West, I have 4 teams in the top 10 that are from the National League West this week. It's basically the Padres, the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Diamondbacks are all rolling right now. And then you got the lowly-ass Colorado Rockies, who are one of the legitimately worst teams in the league right now, who could barely scrape together a win, let alone some runs in a game. But this National League West is just killing it. And the Padres have not let loose on their grip. But the Dodgers are right there, and let's start getting into the Dodgers since they are number 2 on my top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. They are back in full form. They are 16-7 on the season, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took out the lowly-ass Colorado Rockies and then also had a great series against the Texas Rangers. That was a back-and-forth affair. Two of those games were literally a battle down to the very end. But the Dodgers, you know, you just can't say enough about their roster. And right now, Tommy Edman, that nobody thought this guy was going to be anything, and here he is, basically just dominating for this team on the offensive side of the ball, batting a 261 with 7 home runs and 15 RBI. And then you turn over to the pitching, and Yamamoto is having a fantastic year with 3 wins and only a 0.93 ERA with 38 strikeouts on the season. He is having a fantastic year. And I mean, really, there's really no weakness in this team, and they are starting to get going. So expect to see the Dodgers back in the number one spot here probably any day now. Then at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Mets, overall record of 15-7. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Minnesota Twins, but swept the St. Louis Cardinals. Pete Alonso is continuing his excellent season with batting a .346 with 6 home runs and 24 RBI. And Juan Soto is now officially heating up. He actually had 2 home runs over the weekend and really is now getting going offensively. I kind of expected him to need some time to fit into this batting lineup. He doesn't, you know, he's getting pitched differently because he has different players surrounding him at this point in time in the lineup, but it's also helping out Alonso having a Juan Soto bat in front of him as well. So, I mean, it's give and take, but Juan Soto's obviously not having the stellar year you're expecting him to have right out the gate, but I expect him to get it going here, and it looks like over the weekend he did start to finally get going. Then at number 4 in my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 14-8. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took out the Kansas City Royals and the Tampa Bay Rays, and Max Fried is paying all dividends with that contract he received in the offseason. He almost pitched a no-hitter over the weekend. He's got 4 wins on the season with a 1.42 ERA and 30 strikeouts on the season. He has been fantastic. And then, of course, good old Aaron Judge doing what good old Aaron Judge does. He is batting a .390. That's right, a .390, which leads the league, of course, with 7 home runs, which shockingly doesn't lead the league, and then 25 RBI, which does lead the league. But, you know, that's just typical Aaron Judge, right up there in all the top spots with the hitting. And actually, he seems to be better this year. He's getting on, it's not just about the home runs. It seems like he's just getting on base more. So I don't know how long that's going to last, because I'm sure at some point they're going to start to walk him, but it does feel like it's too early in the season to start doing that. But Aaron Judge batting a .390 is pretty nasty right now. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Detroit Tigers, overall record of 13-9. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Milwaukee Brewers, but took the series over their division rivals, the Kansas City Royals, and their starting pitchers are lights out. Of course, you've got Skubal, who is getting hot. Then you got Flaherty, who's been having a phenomenal season to begin with. And then you've got Mize. Casey Mize has come out of nowhere. He's got 3 wins with a 2.22 ERA and 18 strikeouts on the season. These 3 guys are a 3-headed monster that you are going to have difficulties getting around if they keep it up like this. Offensively, the Tigers look great too. But, you know, I felt like the Tigers were going to be a good team this year. I could see they were building a really solid team through their farm system. Now they got a lot of young cats, and this pitching is out of bounds. And if it sticks like this, it's going to be real difficult to score on them. And defensively, they look really solid too. So there's just a lot of good things to say about this Detroit Tigers team at this point in the season. And at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Texas Rangers, overall record of 13-9. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Los Angeles Angels, but lost the series to the Los Angeles Dodgers. But like I said, when I was talking about the Dodgers, that was a crazy series. It was back and forth. And both of those teams, they were lights out with pitching. They were lights out with the offense. They just made the big plays when they needed to, and it really came down to the bitter end. For the Rangers, another starting pitcher who's come out of nowhere and having a fantastic year to start is Maley. He's got 3 wins on the season with a .68 ERA and 25 strikeouts. And then Corey Sager starting to get hot as well. He's batting a .288 with 4 home runs and 6 RBI on the year. Adolis Garcia had a huge monster game winner over the weekend against the Dodgers, so he's obviously doing his thing as well. But the Texas Rangers seem to be taking more shape and as a team, as a whole. And But I will say Jacob deGrom is getting started off real slow right now. So we'll see how that, if he starts to get better as the season progresses on, or if it starts to, he's an old guy now. You never know what's going to happen at the starting pitcher position. But who knows? He could also be a guy who comes out of nowhere. And look at Nathan Eovaldi. He's also having a solid year to start as well. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the San Francisco Giants. Overall record of 14-8. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they split the series with the Philadelphia Phillies, but lost the series to the Los Angeles Angels. And man, yesterday's game was just shitty. They were just killing it. They were dominating the Angels all day up until the 9th inning. And then in the 9th inning, they completely shot their wad and the Angels got the bases loaded, and then they just started hitting in the runs, and then all of a sudden it was 5-4, and the Angels walked away with the win. It was so stupid. And that's just the problem that I see with the Giants, is that they have no issue scoring. That's not a problem. Their offense is not a problem at all. They can get ahead in games. They're actually pretty solid on the defensive side of the ball as well. It is the pitching. The pitching is the problem when it comes to giving up the runs, and it is both the starting pitching and the bullpen. I do not trust either of them at this point in the season, even with Logan Webb. Logan Webb's supposed to be our ace, and he's had some solid outings, but he's given up some runs in some of these games early, too. And then you got Verlander. He really hasn't settled in. He's been getting blown up in a few of these games, so we'll see what happens with the Giants, but I see it being an issue with their pitching right now. The offense, not a problem, but the pitching has been giving up the runs, and that was the huge issue in that loss against the Angels yesterday. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Arizona Diamondbacks, overall record of 13-9. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Miami Marlins and lost the series to the Chicago Cubs, but I will say, Josh Naylor is fitting right in with this Diamondbacks team, as I thought he would. He is currently batting a .333 with 4 home runs and 15 RBI, and he has had some monster hits for this team already. And then Corbin Carroll has come right out the gate and is having a fantastic year himself, batting a .323 with 7 home runs and 19 RBI. And the Diamondbacks, they're starting to get heated up. Offensively, they are also having issues with their starting pitching. That is really been their Achilles heel at this point. But they also have some really solid guys who I think can find their way once the season keeps progressing on. But right now, that's their big problem. But other than that, their offense is fantastic right now. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Philadelphia Phillies, overall record of 13-9. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they split the series with the San Francisco Giants and took the series over the Miami Marlins. This is another team that is having no issue scoring any runs. Nick Castellanos is having a fantastic year, batting a .304 with 3 home runs and 14 RBI. And then Nick Harper, Bryce Harper, he's also having a phenomenal year, batting a .272 with 5 home runs and 14 RBI. Schwarber still having a phenomenal year. Every one of their starting pitchers, they have 2 wins on the season. So even though they're only 5-5 in their last 10 games, this is still a really solid team with a lot of talent, and I still think they have a lot of growing to do as the season goes on. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week have the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 14-10. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the San Diego Padres but took the series over the Arizona Diamondbacks. They are still in first in the MLB with 145 runs, so they are having no issue scoring runs. As a matter of fact, Kyle Tucker batting a .302 on the season with 6 home runs and 23 RBI. Bush, he's batting .316 with 5 home runs and 16 RBI. Carson Kelly's got 6 home runs and 18 RBI. This is just a really, really strong team offensively. And pitching, not terrible either. I wouldn't say that they're, as great as some of these teams, like the Phillies or the Dodgers. Or Tigers, of course, but still, they're holding their own, and they are just really, they're playing some great baseball right now, and you really can't count out these Cubs, especially on the offensive side of the ball. All right, and we do have a little bit of football news this week because the NFL draft is on Thursday, so us football fans, we get to have a little bit of fun. To me, the draft is, it's cool, you know, it's nice to watch it, it's nice to think about football and stuff, but I mean, really, the draft, you just never know what you're going to get. Sometimes your first overall pick ends up being a bust, and sometimes you find a gem in the fourth round who ends up being your starting quarterback for the next 10 years or whatever. You just never know what's going to happen. So I don't take a lot of stock into the draft. Obviously, it matters. Obviously, it's a big deal. But it's not as exciting as, an actual NFL game. But we'll take it. So, like I said, Thursday is the first round of the draft. And so let's go ahead and just break down the order of the draft, which could change. We haven't had any trades just yet. But as the week goes on, there could, of course, be some trades because anything can happen. But it would be more than likely like the day before or the day of the draft. But anything could change between now and Thursday. So the number one pick in the draft this year is the Tennessee Titans. Number two, the Cleveland Browns. Number three, the New York Giants. Number four, the New England Patriots. Number five, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number six, the Las Vegas Raiders. Number seven, the New York Jets. Number eight, the Carolina Panthers. Number nine, the New Orleans Saints. Number 10, the Chicago Bears. 11, the San Francisco 49ers. Number 12, the Dallas Cowboys. Number 13, the Miami Dolphins. Number 14, the Indianapolis Colts. Number 15, the Atlanta Falcons. Number 16, the Arizona Cardinals. Number 17, the Cincinnati Bengals. Number 18, the Seattle Seahawks. Number 19, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 20, the Denver Broncos. 21, the Pittsburgh Steelers. 22, the Los Angeles Chargers. 23, the Green Bay Packers. 24, the Minnesota Vikings. 25, the Houston Texans. 26, the Los Angeles Rams. 27, the Baltimore Ravens. 28, the Detroit Lions. 29, the Washington Commanders. 30, the Buffalo Bills, 31, the Kansas City Chiefs, and 32, the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's how it looks right now as it stands. There's a lot of scuttlebutt that the Tennessee Titans are considering trading the first overall pick, which would be huge. Travis Hunter is probably the number one overall sought-after guy. We have Shedeur Sanders up there. We've got Cam Ward also. Those are the two top quarterbacks here. So a lot can happen then, and of course, the rest of the draft. I mean, we all talk about the number one guys, but there's tons of dudes who have come all the way from number one down to the seventh round. I mean, Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. Come on, y'all. So, I mean, yes, you could be number one and great, but you could also be picked in the seventh round and great. So that's what the NFL draft looks like right now. And then obviously on Friday's show, we'll see who the number one overall pick ends up being and who everybody, what transpires throughout the rest of the draft. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.